Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. And I suppose we could title this segment, A Rose by Any Other Name Might Be a Carrot. Well, I hope that sounds enticing to you. It's a conversation we're going to have with Dr. Gregory Liptak, professor of pediatrics and internationally known and recognized specialist in autism spectrum disorder. He joins me in the studio this morning. Good morning, Dr. Liptak.
Good morning.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
You're always an interesting guest. Listeners, it seems there's a controversy over the diagnosing and labeling within the world of autism, which on the face of it might not seem like it could be life-threatening, but in fact, its ramifications could be huge for families, children, and even adults. And Dr. Liptak, if it's okay with you, I'm going to read an introduction from a recent New York Times article to set the stage.
Okay.
All right. It's one of the most intriguing labels in psychiatry. Children with Asperger's syndrome, a mild form of autism, are socially awkward and often physically clumsy, but there are verbal prodigies, speaking in complex sentences at early ages, reading newspapers fluently by age 5 and 6, and acquiring expertise in some preferred topic, clipper ships, interstate highways, that will astonish adults and bore their playmates to tears. This once obscure diagnosis, given to more than 4 times as many boys as girls, has become increasingly common. Much of the growing prevalence of autism, which now affects about 1% of American children, can be attributed to Asperger's and other mild forms of the disorder, and Asperger's has exploded into popular culture through books and films depicting it as the realm of brilliant nerds and savant-like geniuses. But no sooner has Asperger consciousness been awakened than the disorder seems headed for psychiatric obsolescence. The experts who are revising psychiatry's diagnostic manual have proposed to eliminate it from the new edition due out in 2012. So that's where we're going to start our conversation. Dr. Liptak, this is the world you live in. So let's set the stage for our conversation with an overview of how autism and Asperger's relate.
In autism, individuals have 3 primary problems. Number 1, difficulty with social interactions. Number 2, delayed language. Number 3, restricted repetitive behaviors. In children with Asperger disorder, you see the problems with social interactions, especially difficulty with empathy, and you see unusual behaviors, for example, learning all about clipper ships or vacuum cleaners, but you don't see the major problem with speech and language that you do in children with autism.
So I know that we've learned before that autism is this spectrum disorder. And when you say spectrum, you say some are, what, the highest of functioning and some are the lowest of functioning? Is that a good way to describe it?
Yes.
Okay. And the Asperger's are highest functioning. But there are some famous people that we know of throughout history that have really been Asperger's patients,
well,
right?
We assume that people like Thomas Edison, Andy Warhol, Albert Einstein, and even Bill Gates have had Asperger disorder.
Really?
Yes.
And why is it that you have figured that out? I mean, what do you base that on?
Based on diaries, their interests, the way they interacted with other individuals. For example, Emily Dickinson was a brilliant poet, but she had tremendous difficulty interacting socially with other individuals.
She did. So you're just kind of drawing from, you don't have testing, certainly. You don't have medical records to look at to learn about those things.
Right, so they're just guesses.
They're guesses, but educated guesses,
yes.
Certainly. All right. So now what we have here is a quote-unquote dilemma of words, in effect, because it seems that this psychiatric group is now trying to remove the term Asperger's. Where did it come from to begin with?
It was described by a German physician, Hans Asperger, in 1944, but his work wasn't translated until the 1980s, and Asperger syndrome or Asperger disorder didn't become an official diagnosis until 1994.
Okay, and so once it was an official diagnosis, and children, I would assume, but were there adults labeled with it at that time too?
Yes.
There were, okay. And so these are people who have grown up, have gone out into the world, might have been in our workplaces.
Absolutely.
And we didn't realize that they actually had a syndrome, something that was they were dealing with that we didn't know about.
Right.
And what would we have known? I mean, are these people that we just would have thought they were kind of strange or they weren't like us?
Well, there are actually some evidence that people who are engineers, who work in computers, who are mathematicians, are more likely to have Asperger disorder.
Uh-huh. And because they choose those kinds of careers. Would that be true?
Yes, and because they're really good at it.
Oh, okay.
People with Asperger's are better looking at a problem and solving it than a person without Asperger's disorder. So they have definite skills. On the other hand, they are people who have difficulty interacting on a regular basis. They have difficulty, for example, with a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so they tend to isolate themselves, and they tend to go to certain fields where you don't have as much interaction. For example, it would be very unlikely to have a person with Asperger's disorder be a used car salesperson.
Because they wouldn't be particularly social, in effect.
Exactly.
Gotcha. All right, so now I'm a parent, and I know my child is having problems, and I fear perhaps an autism diagnosis. Do I hope then that my child will be diagnosed with Asperger's instead of autism?
Yes. In fact, when I diagnose children with Asperger's syndrome, I tell them, congratulations, you have Asperger's syndrome.
Really?
Because many people think it's not really a disease, but a different way of viewing the world.
Okay.
And because they're much more likely to be successful when they're adults than people who have autistic disorder.
You know, later on in that same article, it was interesting because one of the groups that's fighting to keep this label happens to be adults with Asperger's, and they have this affectionate name for themselves. They call themselves Aspies.
Right. It's actually a social movement, and many people with Asperger's syndrome feel that they are special because they have Asperger's syndrome. And that's one reason not to take out the diagnosis from the DSM.
Yeah, it's kind of an oxymoron, if you ask me, if this is a social movement about people who have trouble with social interaction. So in any case, let's go back to the bigger conversation. This actually affects everybody who's listening to this broadcast this morning. They may not even know anyone who has autism or Asperger's, but the label itself has to do with how children then are perceived and treated during school years, what they do as adults, and so forth. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, the reason that we make diagnoses in medicine is so you can get the right treatment. For example, if you diagnose pneumococcal pneumonia, that helps you get the right antibiotics. And the reason that we diagnose children with autistic disorder or Asperger disorder is so that they can get the right interventions, whether it's at school, at home, or even in terms of medication. And right now, for example, if you're diagnosed with autistic disorder, it's much easier to get services from the school district than if you're diagnosed with Asperger disorder.
It is. So that label makes a difference in terms of the services you can get. In that case, then, do you hope your child won't get that label?
Well, what you hope is that you have a really good school district who mm-hmm. will provide the services that your child needs, even if they have a diagnosis like Asperger disorder.
Very interesting. All right. So if the children gets those services, of course, that affects our taxes, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, which is why the community needs to be interested in how all of this shakes out.
For sure.
Yeah. So who are these people that are making this decision over this labeling?
They're a group of psychiatrists with consultation from other areas like pediatrics and internal medicine who are coming up with the list of approved and unapproved diagnoses. And it's a very difficult decision because not only does it affect things like resources from school, it also affects insurance and what insurance companies will pay for.
Aha, of course it does. Now, let's go back to the original guidelines, the original criteria for making the diagnosis at all. In fact, you're one of the people who was on this committee that put together those criteria.
Yes.
And how did you allow for Asperger's at the time?
Well, Asperger's is part of the autism spectrum, but we believe that it's different from autistic disorder. And we don't have enough information. For example, there's one study showing that individuals with Asperger disorder have certain genetic composition that seems to be different from those with autistic disorder.
Really?
Yeah.
So if they were diagnosed with Asperger's based on autism, would that be almost like a misdiagnosis?
It could be, yes.
It could. Very interesting. Now, you are a man who lives in the middle of this world at all times. You must have an opinion on whether you think they should keep this term or not.
I do, and I think that Asperger syndrome should be kept as a separate syndrome and not folded in under autism spectrum.
You do, and tell us why.
Number one, because individuals with Asperger disorder have a very different prognosis. Number two, they may have a very different etiology. Number three, rather than being a disease, it may really be a different way of seeing the world. The brain is wired in a different way, mm-hmm. but not in such an abnormal way that it causes major problems. And number four, if we have a specific diagnosis of Asperger, I think it'd be more helpful to teach other students and decrease bullying in school, which is the major problem that kids with Asperger disorder face.
Well, it strikes me, in having been a school teacher myself, it strikes me that if what you learned and if what you began to understand was that someone with Asperger's was in fact a genius and just processed things a different way, it's almost like moving the children into gifted classes. You move them into somewhere where they can then achieve at their own level. And it seems to me that this Asperger's diagnosis could do that for children.
Yes, and I sometimes work in high schools coaching a program called Odyssey of the Mind.
Oh, I know of Odyssey of the Mind. It's a wonderful program.
And occasionally, high school students will make fun of someone with Asperger disorder, and what I tell them is, be careful because it's very likely that he's going to be your boss.
Oh, very good. And you know what? That's a fabulous way to end our conversation because I do think it is really hopeful for people who have Asperger's disease. Or it's not a disease, is it? It's like a syndrome?
Exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
It is. Okay, yeah. It's a label in any case, and I expect we're going to hear much more about this label. Dr. Gregory Liptak, thank you so much for coming by this morning.
My pleasure.
And listeners, we do need to take a break. Not a very long one. We will be back shortly. Please stay with us. This is Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.